Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
All right. Well, I have the privilege of bringing the word tonight, and I wanted to start out with a little test of your language skills. All right. Is there anyone in here who speaks more than one language? Put your hand up. Come on, put your hand up. More than one? Which means you speak two, so more than two? Nah. Oh, yeah, more than two? More than three? Different dialects, that kind of counts. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm very, very impressed with anyone who can speak more than one language because I've learnt three during school and all I can do is count. So... But learning another language, I think, some of you obviously don't, knowing more than one, is a challenging thing. Even just trying to have a conversation with someone, even if you're just learning a language, to have a conversation with someone who speaks another language, it can be fun and enjoyable, but can also become a little bit frustrating. We have trouble communicating due to that language barrier, and it can be frustrating and it can be hindering to our relationship. So language is an important thing. Have you ever felt that way about the language of prayer? Have you ever felt that you're speaking a foreign language when you're trying to pray to God? Or maybe you're struggling to hear from God and wondering if He's speaking another language? Prayer is vital to our faith and our relationship with God. And we can't hope to grow in our faith without making prayer a key part of our faith. It needs to become a second language. And what holds true for us as individuals, as believers, in our one-on-one relationship with God is also really important in our corporate relationship together with God as a church. It's vital that we be gathering together as a congregation, praying and seeking God. And that's why we endeavour to do that once a month on a Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month. We gather together and we want to discern the voice of God, because sometimes it does feel like it's in another language. We want to discern together the voice of God through prayer. In Luke 11, there's a passage that illustrates the importance of prayer. As we hear the disciples requesting of Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." That was their heart's desire. They wanted to learn to pray to God. And in response, Jesus told them what we now call the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The Lord's Prayer is a great prayer when you don't know what else to pray. It kind of covers all the bases if you go through it step by step. With an opening address, our Father, acknowledging God and who He is. There's seven petitions, and then there's a closing worship of God. And you'll notice the first few are God-focused. The first few parts are acknowledging who He is, acknowledging what God has done and that He is in control. "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." He is in control. He can do all those things. And that's the type of prayer that I want us to look at tonight. Prayers of adoration. What it means to adore God in prayer. Now, I understand that the word adore, it's quite a feminine word. You wouldn't be surprised to hear a lady say, "Oh, I adore your shoes." You probably wouldn't hear a guy say that. He'd probably say, "Oh, awesome shoes." So we've got the word adore, and I wanted to pair it today with the word awesome because I think they kind of go together. We have adoration for God. We can adore God, and there's a great word to, I guess, to match to that is awesome. God is awesome. I think adoration and awesome go together, and we find what we find awesome, we adore, and often what we adore is an awesome thing, is a great thing. Prayer should include the adoration of our awesome God. Amen? So what do you think is awesome about God? I want you to talk to each other. Talk to your neighbour. Take a couple of minutes just to share with each other what you think is awesome about God. All right. Anyone want to shout anything out that you think is awesome about God? Good. He saved you. Yeah. Creation. Yeah. He's, yep. So complex, isn't it? Amazing. Anything else? Rafa, you got one? Miracles. Yes. Absolutely. Fantastic, Rafa. There are lots of things we could say about God. Everything is awesome about God. His holiness, His love, His justice, His compassion, His patience, all of the things remind us of how awesome the God is that we serve. His creation, His character. Someone has said that the difference between adoration and supplication or petition, which is like asking God, asking prayers. The difference between adoration and asking is that adoration is based on who God is and petition is based on what God does. Who God is, the other side is what God does. I think most of us could say that we maybe spend majority of our time asking God for things. Legitimate, important things. But how much time do we spend in prayer just thanking God for who He is? Just adoring Him. Just lavishing praise on Him. Does God need our prayers of adoration? Does He need to be told how good He is? No. Yes, He created us to worship Him. But He doesn't need our affirmation, not in the same way we like affirmation. He doesn't need it, but He deserves it because of who He is. God is completely self-sufficient. However, He does deserve our praise and adoration. So why then is adoration important? If God doesn't actually need it, why is it important? One reason that comes to mind for me is adoration of who God is actually assures us of what God does. Life change through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, it reminds us and helps us to remember how amazing He is. And that's such a God way to look at, like, such a God thing to do. Like, here's this thing, I don't actually need it, but it's going to be good for you. When we adore God in our prayer life, we begin to align our will with His will. We begin to focus our praise and our adoration on Him, not us. Now, for some of us, words of praise might come easily. They might be things that we've heard spoken to us all our lives. We've grown up where words of adoration and praise were part of our family dynamic. They were part of our family story. You know, oh, well done, you did really great on that. That looks beautiful on you. What a good boy you've been. All these praises. And so speaking words of praise and adoration to God can be a little bit easier for you. But for others of us, it may be as foreign as Spanish and French to you. It may be a foreign language because unfortunately you didn't grow up hearing those things. Receiving words of adoration and praise were not part of the vocabulary of your family. So tonight I hope that as we look at this text in Psalm this psalm of praise to God and adoration to God, that it'll give you some sort of base to start from, to develop this language of adoration in prayer to God. So if you've got your Bibles there, I encourage you to turn to Psalm 145. And this psalm gives us reasons to compliment God that we can use in our everyday prayers. I'm going to start at verse 3. Verse 3 to 7 says, God is the Lord. Great is the Lord, sorry. God is the Lord, but great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. When we compliment or praise God for his greatness, it causes us to look upwards and outwards, beyond our current circumstances, to him. And what a wonderful way to gain perspective on life. Expressing that God's greatness is beyond discovery, as it says in the psalm, opens us up to the reality that there is more to life than what we can see right there in that moment in our circumstances. Opens us up to see a greater reality than our day-to-day one. And maybe even humble us a little. My brother-in-law and my nephew are currently in Nepal trekking. And he put this photo up in our family chat this week. Doesn't really do it justice there. It looks really good on my phone. Come have a look later. He's not a believer, but this was the view from his balcony that morning. And he said it was at 8,000 plus 8,000 peak, really high, okay? the peak of Annapurna, towering over the valley. But he put in his little message, feeling a little humble. Feeling a little humble. You know, even someone who doesn't believe in God can stand in a place like that and just feel small and humbled. Now, not all of us can go trekking in Nepal, but we can all be intentional about finding those times in our day, about making space where we can just shut out the noise of a daily life, the challenges, the opportunities, the concerns, and the dreams that fill our mind, and rather just meditate on the infinite greatness of God. You may not have a view like that, but maybe it's a matter of just looking at the intricacies of a flower as you go for a walk, or looking outside your office window and watching an insect. Taking those little moments and just marveling at God's creation and how awesome he is, and using those times as simple prayers of adoration to God. Saying, God, you're amazing. Look what you have done. Look what you have created. Simple times of adoration and prayer to God. Carrying on in the psalm, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. I don't know about you, but over and over again in my life, the Lord has not given me what I deserved. I deserve discipline. I deserve punishment. I deserve him to turn his back on me, but he doesn't. He's not taken out his anger on me. He has been merciful and full of grace. He has been slow to anger, abounding in love. Can you say the same? Do you have reason to praise the Lord for his kindness and mercy to you? Again, God doesn't need our praise for that. He deserves it, but he doesn't need it. And in typical God style, as I said before, it's actually us that gets the benefit. You see, I believe that giving thanks to God for his mercy and his grace makes it easier for us to confess our sins. As we pour out adoration to God for how merciful and compassionate he is, we're drawn into a place of trust with God. And out of that trust, we can confess to him how we've messed up again. It's so much easier to do when we come from that place of acknowledging that he's given us what we do not deserve. So we can adore God in prayer by giving praise and adoration to God for his greatness. As we meditate on the greatness we see in creation. And we give thanks to God for his grace and mercy to us that we have received, even though we did not deserve it. And then finally, we can pour out our adoration to God through remembering and giving thanks to him, for he's always answered our prayers. A great way to be active in this is to keep a gratitude list or a journal of the ways God has answered your prayers. To take time to meditate on those things and to say thank you to God and to acknowledge how he moved in a situation. Thank you, God, that you did this. Thank you, God, that you provided here. But just keeping it in that is really important, the thanks, not the, oh, thank you, God, that you provided here and would you help me with this? No. We don't go to asking yet. We've got to stay in the thankfulness. Stay in the place of acknowledging how great he is through the acts that he has done, not only in the world, but also in our life. Remembering that he is good to all, as it says in the psalm, through his answered prayers to us. So that's just a few ways that we can have simple prayers of adoration to God. So how fluent are you in the language of adoration? Do you need a little language learning? Do you need to do a little training to get better at just sitting in that place of adoring God through prayer? Well, we're fortunate that we have a wonderful God who provides his word that can help us express our adoration to God. So he didn't just say, this is good for you. He said, oh, and I'm going to give you what you need to say. And I've got a list here, and you might want to, I'll get Darren to send this out through the week, but you might want to just take a photo of that. There's two slides, there's 12 points total. But these might be great ways to just sit in these moments and give thanks to God and adore him. Number one, the fact that he's eternal. He's immortal and invisible, yet you are not alone. He's always there. And there's some scriptures with each of these points that you can look up and meditate on. Give thanks to God for the fact that he is spirit. That's an amazing thing, that God chooses to dwell with us and in us by his Spirit. The fact that he is living, God is alive. We don't worship a dead God. We worship a God who is alive. Number four, the fact that God is the one able to create something out of nothing. Number five, that he's independent of all creation. Independent of all creation and has life in and of himself. There's nothing that controls God. He is all powerful. So he can do anything he wants. And when you pair that with the knowledge that he loves you and is for you, that's an amazing thing to just sit with. Number six, you are known to all. God is known to all, whether they realize it or not. We're made in his image, and so there's a part of each of us that knows God. Number seven, as self-existent Yahweh, you are self-revealing to your people. He chooses to reveal himself to us because he wants us to know him and he wants to know us. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere, always, constant, never changing. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is all-wise. There is nothing God doesn't know. There's nothing you can't ask him. No wisdom that he cannot provide you. And he is sovereign. He's in control. So my question to you now is, what can you do different this week? After hearing a little bit about prayer and adoration to God, what can you do different? Will you make time this week to adore God? To recall his attributes, his love, his splendor, his power, his beauty, his wisdom and his holiness. Adoration is an instrument which helps you be lifted up into the presence of the Lord. It can keep your mind away from your own worries, your own fears, your weaknesses, your needs. God can take care of all that stuff. If we just spend time adoring him, he'll take care of all the rest of it. Instead, we are looking to God in dedicated praise and adoration. And remember, it was Jesus, as I said before, it was Jesus who gave us the model of prayer, of what we now call the Lord's Prayer. And it begins with adoration to the Father. No, that's the example that was set to us. So I want to encourage you to keep living out that example when you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Or in other languages, holy, holy be your name. Like, that's adoring language. Honored, be lifted up. So I want to encourage you this week. Spend time. More time adoring God than asking God. More time adoring him than petitioning him. And see what happens. See what happens. Another great way to adore God is through worship. Through just singing a song that is not about who I am and what God has done for me. That's all great. But rather a song that is just proclaiming who he is, and giving him honor and giving him glory. It's another great way to just dwell with God in adoration. And we're going to take some time now before we head into a time of communion to just reflect on what God has done through his son Jesus as we head towards reflecting on the cross and sharing the bread and the cup together. So I'd encourage the worship team, invite them to come. And before we sing, just as Kaz just plays, let's just take a few moments to adore God. Just close your eyes and just try not to ask God for anything. Just lavish him with words and thoughts of praise and honor and glory. read that psalm again. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. We say thank you, God, and amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.